Good evening. It's good to see you tonight. We're thankful that you're here. We're thankful to God that we have an opportunity to worship together, and I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to lead us in the study of God's Word for just a little while tonight. As mentioned this morning, if you would turn with me to Psalm 71 in just a moment, we're going to consider some things from God's Word about how shall the old secure their hearts. We speak rightly to our young people about how they shall secure their hearts. You know, the Word of God talks to us about making our call and election sure, that if we will do these things, adding to our faith virtue, all of the attributes of 2 Peter 1, 8 and following, that enable us to bear fruit and be active in the kingdom of God. Whether young or old, we need those attributes to solidify and strengthen ourselves, to secure ourselves in our faith. As we grow older, sometimes we are tempted to begin to think that we've done our part, or that we have sufficiently satisfied the responsibilities and expectations that are upon us and in the kingdom, and that now it's time for a younger group, a newer generation. This is faulty thinking. That attitude, if allowed to settle in our hearts, stagnates us in our faith. The Word of God teaches us that we can press on throughout and through old age to be active and productive in the kingdom of God. And that's what I'd like for us to study about, exhort concerning from God's Word. You know, the Word of God says that it's important that we give honor to the aged. It is, as most of our audience tonight is in the over 60 crowd, right? Now, some are not, and I respectfully acknowledge your presence. You'll be there one day, they're willing. So hopefully there'll be something to be learned there as well. Whatever our age, the Word of God in the Old Testament said that you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God, I am the Lord. Let me note with you in that passage that he builds his case in the law there of giving honor to the aged person out of the fear of God. When one does not respect God, then one fails to properly respect the aged. He says, rise before, give honor, give due regard to the aged person, to the older person, and fear your God. And so if we, and to the degree that we do not respect those who are older, our elders, then it's to that degree at least that we are not properly honoring God, respecting God. When you think about that and realize that there is a linkage made in God's Word, at least in the Old Testament law, to Israel about that, and it's a consistent thought, is that because of age should be a measure of experience in life, and hopefully not only a growth in knowledge, but also its application, so that wisdom and prudence is also to be hopefully one of the things that we find in those who are older. Not always is that the case. We readily acknowledge that, and it's very sad indeed to find one who is older who has not developed those attributes. We'll speak to that some through our study. But for us here tonight, we want to begin by recognizing and acknowledging that God says the righteous can bear fruit into old age. In Psalm 92, if you'll turn with me to that passage, please. 92nd Psalm, and verses 12 through 15. The Word of God says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And so for the righteous one who is flourishing and who regards God as his rock, as the one upon whom his life is built and anchored, the one who chooses a life of righteousness. He says that's the person who bears fruit still in old age. He uses the illustration of not of a dead branch, withered and brittle, but of the young limb that is green and flourishing. My hands get pretty dry in cold weather, so I remembered to pack my hand lotion, right? Some of that strong stuff, right? The fluids seem to go away with age, right? And that's kind of the picture here of
in the tree, the old withered and brittle.
But he says, not so with those who are righteous, who have God as their rock, who continue to live their faith, even in the old age, they're bearing fruit. Fruit comes off of the branch that is vigorous, that has sap, that is has oil, and bears the good fruit that we enjoy. He says, that's God's picture of the righteous, even as we get old. You see, when we get old, we ought not think, I've done enough now, and it's someone else's turn. We may retire from a work, from a job, but we don't retire from being God's people. We don't retire from being Christians. We don't retire from bearing fruit, even in our old age. And so the Apostle Paul reassures us of that point in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. I understand that what we're saying here, we're speaking to an audience that is older, but understand, we have no guarantee of old age. We are a vapor that appears for a time and then vanish. We should say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. All of our lives, whether young or old, must be built upon the principle that life is a gift from God, and we will use it as a blessing as long as we have it. But there's something much more vital than life here, and that's life eternal. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul says, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And he's in a context where he's discussed some of the pressures and persecutions as apostles. And yet he says, we're being renewed daily, though the outward man is perishing. And our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Our eyes, whether young or old, must be fixed on the eternal things. And understand that whatever our age here on earth, that we can be vital and productive, fruitful in our service to God. And so we want to be among those who, on the one hand, rise and honor those who are aged. And on the other hand, we want to be older people in the kingdom that are worthy to be honored. That, in other words, that we live a life that is faithful so that it would not be a hardship to gain respect for the Lord through our lives. That we can have an impact and an influence on others as long as we have life, whether we are young or and in this lesson, especially while we are older. So let's talk for just a moment about old age. I mean, that's and the reality of as we get older, our bodies get weaker, and we have illnesses. You have a long list of those who are ill right now that we pray for, and that we petition our Father on behalf of, that they will be strengthened, that they'll be able to endure, that they'll have a measure of health regained. In all of that, the reality is that eventually, of course, we die. That our bodies are going to eventually wear out, and it is simply wisdom for us to develop an attitude and a mindset that enables us to age gracefully with a recognition of the fact that after all, this world is not my home. And that the blessing of life is just that, a blessing that is here for a little while. And then we move on to other and by God's grace, greater things. In Psalm 90 in verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet they boast is only labor and sorrow. And it's soon cut off and we fly away. 30 years of knowing Keith and Rita has gone like that. And you have some members here in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s. And I suspect that without exception, that would be the answer to every one of us, answering the question, does it seem like life has been long or short? Even a lengthy life is short in comparison to eternity. Soon we fly away. And while we have life, we have responsibilities that bring labor and bring a measure of sorrow. These are the realities of life. And on top of that, the fact that as our bodies get weaker, the illness is coming. And we must have a faith that enables us to endure those things, to push through those realities and not be deterred and distracted away from having our minds set on things above. Remember? Seeking the things that are above and sustaining a life that's hidden with Christ in God, as we talked about this morning. But please with me in Ecclesiastes 12, a familiar passage where Solomon exhorted the young person to remember the Creator in the days of his youth, before the evil days come, before the calamitous times come, the difficult, the trying times come, and the years draw near and you say, I have no pleasure in them. He says, use the vigor of youth to establish the pattern of righteous living, so that as age comes and your body begins to decline, as he describes in vividly figurative language there in verses 2 and following, that you will continue to be true to God, that you will, as he picks up in verse 6, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed and the golden bowl is broken, before death comes. And so our hands, our arms, the keepers of the house will tremble. Right? He says, remember God before that happens. Remember God, he says, before the grinders cease because of a few. Any teeth problems? The older you get? I do. Right? We face those. That's reality. That's part of growing old. Solomon knew it. It's not a new phenomenon. Those that look through the windows grow dim as our eyes. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises at the sound of a bird and all the noise of music are brought low, and they're also afraid of height, terrors are in the way, and the almond tree blossoms, gray hairs. Grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. Man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners are about go about the streets. He says, remember God before in your youth and throughout all those times, because your flesh is going to set trials before you as you get older, that if allowed, will draw you away from faith. It's a sad thing to see those the decline of years produce bitterness in the heart, but sometimes it does. But the God's Word urges us to see that as we grow older, it's a time for our spiritual strengthening. As the body declines, our souls and spirits get stronger, vital in His service, fruitful in doing His will. So before we finish, let's challenge ourselves. Maybe you're in good health right now for your age. Great. You go to the doctor and he says, well, you're in pretty good health for considering how old you are, right? So that's wonderful. So use that as opportunity in your service to God. But understand that we're going to all face challenges in health, and most everybody here does in some form or the other. And you know, we have a lot of blessings that people of this time didn't have medically and transportation. All the benefits that we have medically these days are wonderful. But the reality is our bodies are going to eventually wear out. We're going to die. So don't let that be an overwhelming burden, but again, an opportunity for the grace of God and the mercy of God and to be a conduit through our lives. Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong, because my trust and reliance is not in the flesh, not in myself, but in the Lord. So even as our bodies decline, let's let's remember that our faith needs to be getting stronger and stronger. So the reality is, as we get older, it becomes a time of increasing solitude. Loneliness can be a real temptation that we have to struggle with sometimes to maintain the right frame of mind to be productive in the service of God. Sometimes you find yourself feeling like a stranger in the world, or like the world's passing you by. Perhaps a loved one has already preceded you in death. Things change. Now, I was hearing something about someone saying that the fellow who settled this area said, "Now don't change anything until I get back," and so it hasn't. Either you telling me that story. I'm sure I'm massacring that story. You can tell me about it, tell it again to me later. Things change. You know, sometimes it looks like things aren't changing around us. They do, and they always have, and will, I suppose. And you know, where I grew up, it's the cornfield becomes a subdivision, or a cotton field becomes a subdivision, you know. Things change. And that can produce a feeling of loneliness, of isolation, and depression, regrets, struggle with bitterness perhaps, or maybe a struggle with envy in our heart. All these are temptations that can come as we get older. Well, we need to remember that in spite of all of that, and those are realities that have to be addressed in our lives, that the Lord has said, "I will in no wise fail you. I will not forsake you. That I'll never leave you or forsake you." He says, "The Lord is my helper. I'll not fear. What can man do to me?" Now, we're going to see the older man in Psalm 71 in a moment have some of these challenges. But he maintained this recognition of the Lord as being present and being his helper. And we must do that as we get older. Thirdly, understand that the time of old age is also and ought to be a time of reflection, a solemn time. It is the reality that the end of life is approaching. But we are, as we get older, we are on the threshold of death. We are at the precipice of eternity. And that the choices we are making in our life, if God grants us long life, every day of that life is another opportunity to equip and prepare ourselves for eternity. To truly live knowing this world is not my home. That I'm just passing through. So that your age can be your beauty. You know, a lot of people really, you know, they spend a lot of time and energy and money on trying to look young. You know, all kinds of things out there. But the truth, you know, we grow old. But our life can be vigorous in our faith if we live in righteousness. Proverbs 16 and 31 speaks to the old person and in this respect. Proverbs 16 and the 31st verse says, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." Okay? So there is beauty to be had, glory and honor to be present when in our age we walk in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, "The glory of the young men is their strength, and the splendor of the old men is their gray head. So the gray head, the age here, the experiences of age, he says that's the old man's splendor. His experience, his growth, the life that he has lived. Getting older need not be a time of despair, should not be for us as God's people, but of continued recognition of great blessings and opportunities in our old age to do some things and to be people in the kingdom that can provide essential benefits and blessings to those that our lives touch. So let's turn to the 71st Psalm and just spend some time there. In asking and trying to answer the question, how shall the old secure their hearts? This is a prayer of an aged man. And if we will, let's just give a few moments to read through the psalm and section by section here and try to learn some lessons from him. Let's read the first three verses here together. It says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." As we read through all through this psalm, in fact, let's continue on just a little farther. That begins to set the scene. He's praying to the Lord, in whom he puts his trust. But he continues now with his plea, with his petition. "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails, when my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him.' Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with the reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt." We'll pause there for a moment. We'll come back and read the rest of the psalm. But you begin to get the flavor of the situation. Here's an older man who is being pressed and pursued even by his adversaries. They're seeking to take advantage of him. They see him as an easy target, ripe for the picking. And this man is a righteous man who is pleading to God and recognizing that it would be God and God alone who would protect him and sustain him in this moment of trial, and that in fact his faith was that God would not cast him aside simply because he was older in age. How shall the old secure their hearts? First of all, by praying for God's help. That's what this man chooses to do, and we've read through that and seen that in the first four verses, petitioning for deliverance. Multiple places, verse 2, again in verse 4, deliver me. He petitions God for his assistance. Prayer, brethren, is a powerful blessing that we have in petitioning God concerning our situations. To access the blessing that God has for us as his children, if we would but pray to him. Parents want to help their children. God wants to help us. God will help us. He will hear our prayers if we pray to him. If we will let go of the barrier self-reliance. Self-dependency. I can do it on my own. You know, independence is an important thing about growing up. I want to be independent. Well, nothing wrong with that. But we need to see our dependency upon God. There's a sense in which, yes, it's a blessing to be able to be independent in our life, but we need to always be dependent upon God in youth and in old age. And this righteous man in Psalm 71 was dependent upon God as he got old. That's how we secure our hearts in faith and rightness. We trust the power of God's presence to hear and to answer our prayers according to his will. Philippians chapter 4 and 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. In our age, we have great things to rejoice over. We rejoice that we've been blessed with a life of friends and family and opportunities in the kingdom, of breath itself, as we prayed about earlier. We rejoice always in the Lord. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord's at hand. In our ways, we still regard and understand the Lord is near. The Lord is responsive. And so be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's a promise that God makes us as His children, that we as older Christians can seize, and that can be active in our lives, rather than allow anxiety to distract us and overwhelm us. Maybe it's the loneliness. Maybe it's the separation through death. Maybe it's the illness. Maybe it's feeling forgotten. Young people need to remember to remember the older people. Now, I can remember some of the best blessings of my early years was being able to be with older people. My parents were older when they had my brother and I, and our grandmother lived with us. So I kind of feel like I was kind of always an older soul, you know. And I remember I worked in a grocery store, and there was an older man that would come in. He was alone. He was a widower. He was by himself. He'd come in and sit. I worked in the meat shop, the meat department, cutting the meat. He'd come and we'd visit. I'd go visit him at his house. He'd make the peanut butter pies. I love it. Good memories, right? Sometimes, you know, young people need to remember the older people. In their rush to live life, we need to remember that parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, friends, neighbors, brethren, might just be lonely, might just need to hear from you, a visit, a kind call. And because, you see, they can start feeling like nobody cares. Well, God always cares, and God's people should always care. And prayer is evidence that God continues to care for us in old age, and it is the vital part of our relationship with God in Christ that we can pray to our Father, and He hears us, and He answers us, and He protects us. That's what the psalmist was doing, because that's where he put his faith. That's the life that he was going to live. That's how we secure our hearts, through prayer. And then through action, by the way, as we live our faith. And that's number 2, trust the Lord. You see, the man would pray, but then he prayed because his trust was centered upon God. Not upon himself, not upon the experience he has, or the wisdom that he gained, or any of that sort of a thing. He says, "You are my strong refuge." Verse 7. And throughout, in Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10, another psalm says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." The Lord is dependable. And so we need in our lives to depend upon the Lord. That is the way that we secure our hearts, because unfortunately there are unscrupulous people who mistreat the aged. And that's what this man was facing. He was facing mistreatment. I mean, you know, we hear every so often about older folks who've been scammed. You know, a telephone scam, or you know, they've trusted somebody they shouldn't trust, and they've built them out of thousands of dollars and just destroyed their life. They're unscrupulous people who take advantage of older folks. Well, God will never do that. God will address and bring His vengeance upon those who do that. the psalmist, while he was under such a threat, he knew God was not far away. He knew, in fact, in verse 3, he's able to say that, "You're my strong refuge. I continually go to you. I resort to you. You have given a commandment to save me." He sees that himself besieged by enemies in his life. But he says, "God, you've given a commandment to save me. You're going to deliver me. You're going to bring me through this." That's the trust that we need to have in the Lord as we grow older. That He's going to see me through this ailment, this pain. He's going to see me through this separation and this loss and this sorrow. He's going to bring me to a brighter day. He's going to help me to see that the life that I have now is a blessing, an opportunity. And He's going to enable me to deliver me from evil and sustain me as I make the choice of faith to be true to Him. David said, "I have been young and now am I old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." Psalm 37:25. Like David, like this psalmist, like Psalm 121 in verse 1, we need to lift up our eyes in our old age. And we need to see that our help comes from God. Psalm 121 in verse 1 says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Then it is the exercising of our faith in our old age that we secure our hearts. That's exactly the point, isn't it? Whether young or old, that we alluded to at the beginning in 2 Peter chapter 1, when Peter said, "Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. But there will be entrance supplied to you richly and abundantly into the everlasting kingdom." How are we going to secure our hearts? By trusting the Lord. By exercising, by living our faith. By keeping our confidence that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, even to those who are called according to His purpose. But as the Lord's will is being done, there is good that comes from it. Surely, if there was good that could come from the murderous, vile scene of the cross on Calvary, then good can come from any pain you and I experience in our lives. We have to trust the Lord. We have to continue to put Him first. God will perform His word. In Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, this is the assurance we have. He gave this assurance to Israel. He gives it to us through His Son as well. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4 says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who has been carried from the womb." He said, "Listen to me. I have been with you from conception. I've been with you from your birth, even to your old age. I am He. And even the gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." The assurance and the reassurance we have from the Word of God is God will accomplish His will. We can trust that in that, even through our old age, and be secure in our hearts. How shall we secure our hearts? Well, we're going to remember the hope that we have. We're going to hope continually as we pray without ceasing, as we pray always, and as we trust completely. We must hope continually. Hope continually. You see hope mentioned in verse 5. He said, "You are my hope, O Lord God." And again in verse 14. Let's pick up the reading there and go through the rest of the chapter, because we begin to get some points here from the last part of this psalm. He says, verse 14, "But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." You see, when the enemy is pressing upon him, speaking against him, trying to take advantage of him, he says, "I'm going to hope continually." You know, hope is not just desiring something, it's expecting it. Hope is the combination of desire and expectation. He said, I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God and make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. As we get older, we simply can't go in the strength of our body. Our body's not as strong as it used to be bringing in food this afternoon in the potluck. Keith reminded me, we need to go slower and take more careful steps, because when we fall, it takes longer to heal. And so, but he says, I'm going to go in the strength of my God. Our body's not as strong as they used to be, but our hearts can be even stronger. Oh God, you have taught me, verse 17, you've taught me from my youth. To this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. Before we go further, let's just elaborate this point of hope. We have a hope that's an anchor to our soul. The sure and steadfast that enters into within the veil, into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, because of Jesus, because of the promises God has made and fulfilled in His Son, and God has assured us of our expectation of eternity. Whatever comes in this life, and if we are blessed with old age, see, that's the thing, we need to see that old age is a blessing. Even if it seems that the challenges are blessings. That our hope is strengthened. Our hope is renewed because we wait on the Lord. Look at the psalmist in 19 through 21. He says, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? He expects the Lord to work as He has worked in the past. You have shown me great and severe troubles. You shall revive me again. Yes, I have troubles. They seem overwhelming at times. They seem so severe at times. But you shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. These severe troubles, these great trials, he says, are nothing in comparison to your strength, your righteousness, and the comfort you give. And that's where my hope is put. I know you've done it in the past. I know you will do it now. And you will continually be present for that very thing. The aged person, this man of the psalm, he had seen God's power. And he'd seen God's mercy. Paul had too, at the end of his life. When all forsook him, the Lord did not forsake him. And neither will the Lord forsake you in your old age. I'm reminded of Simon in Luke 2. You remember there, this aged man, when the Christ child is brought to the temple. We read there that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, or hope of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he maintained in his life the hope of Israel, the expectation of Messiah that God had promised and that God's prophets had assured would come. He is anticipating that. He is hoping for it. He's desiring it and he's expecting it. And the Lord had promised he would see that child. And so it was. And so he praised God for it in that particular text. Brethren, as we get older, we secure our hearts by remembering the great hope we have. Never lose sight of that and never let go of that. How shall the old secure the hearts? Our psalmist says, by speaking of God's righteousness. Speaking of God's righteousness. Not blaming God for the woe. Not challenging God for what our life's experiences are. But by maintaining hope and trust in Him, prayer to Him, and now speaking of Him to others. Verses 15 and 16, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. I'll make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Only recently, over the past year, a lady in a nursing home down here in Tennessee passed away. She was 106 years old. I didn't know her, that some brethren at home, the congregation at home, would mail our bulletins to her. And in the nursing home, she would pass those out to the residents and engage them with the gospel. It's 106 years old. Let us not think there's nothing we can do when we get older. We can speak to others of God's righteousness, of God's Christ, of God's salvation. The psalmist said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I continue to do, even as an older man with these trials set before me. Again, in verse 24, he concludes by saying, my tongue shall also talk of your righteousness all the day long. Brethren, we can tell others about God. You can be an effective teacher to others. Please don't say, it's time for the young people to teach. Yes, the young people need to teach. And so do the older people. We can speak of God's righteousness. You see, by reason of age, we'll even be more effective. Because we have more opportunity to grow in the knowledge of God's Word, and the experience that we bring with age ought to combine with wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Job 32, Elihu, remember the younger man, listened and he got angry. It says the wrath of Elihu was aroused when he heard what Job and his friends were saying. And finally he speaks. He said, I am young and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not to declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. He was respectful of age. And we ought to show respect to those who are older. And he did that. But he said, I have something to say too. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Here's a warning to us when we get older. Just because we're older doesn't mean that we're right all the time. Doesn't mean that we've got all the answers just because we've experienced something or we've, quote, been there. Now, that's good to draw upon. But you see, in our old age, we can't make ourselves the standard either. Truth, righteousness, what God guides us in His Word is what we must stand upon, rely upon, and speak of. When we speak of God's will, God's righteousness to others, we ought to be more effective. And we cannot be blinded by thinking, well, I've experienced, you know, it was the experiences of Job's friends that they concluded, well, Job, you must be just a vile and a great sinner, because, you know, they were drawing upon what they presumed and what they had seen. Well, there's more to the story. And you see, when we get older, our age and experience can lean toward wisdom, but that's not the standard that can be helpful. But we have to live righteously. Remember that verse in Proverbs 16:31. There's honor with the gray hair if we walk in the way of righteousness. And there was a woman who did that honor in Luke 2nd chapter, verses 36 to 38. The woman who was now 84 years of age, she had been a widow for more than 7 decades. For more than 70 years, she'd been a widow. Let me rephrase that. Let me go back and read that. That's not exactly right. She had been a widow for many decades. Let's go and make that a correct statement. Let's read together in Luke 2, 36 through 38. It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. So she had been married 7 and she is now 84 years. So she for many decades, probably not 7 decades, but for many decades, she'd been a widow. Well, what had she done during that time? It says she did not depart from the temple. But she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke with Him to all who looked for the redemption in Israel. She spoke. She spoke of the Christ to those who were looking for God's redemption. And she was there too when the child was brought to the temple. She spoke to others when she was able. Anyway, that's how we secure our hearts, is we use our opportunities to speak of God. And one of the ways we do that is the psalmist acknowledged next is, I tell the next generation of God's works. He says, O God, you've taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now I'm old and gray-headed. O God, don't forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Now, teach the gospel to the next generation. Leave a spiritual legacy. Teach your children. Teach your grandchildren. Teach your great-grandchildren. Teach the children of the church. The children of the neighborhood. Wherever you have the opportunity. Our children need to be taught so that another generation can follow God. Psalm 78 goes into some detail discussing that. I encourage you to look at that passage, Psalm 78, 1 through 7, where again God urges the fathers not to hide from their children what God had done, so that they too would keep God's commandments. And we have to be using our influence to teach our children, to teach our grandchildren to obey Jesus, to tell them of His mighty works, as the psalmist said he was doing, and pled for that opportunity to continue to do as long as he had life. To tell of salvation in Jesus. To tell of His church. To tell of His love. To tell of the hope of heaven. We've got to tell the next generation, brethren. That's how we secure our hearts, by serving God, by serving our families, and all that we have opportunity to speak to. And then he said, I'm going to praise God always. We secure our hearts by continuing to praise God. You see, this man is praising God from beginning to end in this psalm. Praise Him, young men and maidens. Praise Him, old men. Psalm 148, verses 12 and 13. Even worship God in old age. And it is that worship of God in old age that continues to give God due praise and also exhort and encourage others. Anna did not part from the temple, it said in Luke 2:37. She's continually in a context where she is able to worship God. Consider one another to stir up unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. To see aged Christians at worship service is a great encouragement to those around, as well as continues to be that of what it should be for them. As we get older, brethren, it's not the time to say, well, I'm going to cut back on being active in worship. No, that revitalizes us and it encourages the people around us. You see, there's a place for you in the kingdom. You have a place in God's service. Every member doing his and her part helps the increase of the body, the growth of the body. Ephesians 4, verse 16. He says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, as every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The body will be strengthened and edified as you do your part. Before we close, I just want to briefly, a couple of minutes, turn your attention to Titus chapter 2. You have a place in the kingdom. You have a part. You can help the body grow. And in Titus, the second chapter, Paul exhorts Titus to teach the older men. Older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Here's a guideline for us as older men to maintain and develop and secure a character that helps us be fruitful in the old age. Be vigilant. Be honorable in demeanor. Be temperate. And be whole. Be sound of good judgment and faith, love, and patience. Older women are told in the next verse, Likewise, be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, admonishing the young women. Have fitting deportment as an older woman, not a slanderer, not an accuser, not a gossip, not enslaved to wine, exercising self-control in your life, a teacher of good things, earnestly exhorting young women in their lives to help them be wives and mothers as well. You see, you can bear fruit, secure your heart, even into old age. We close with what we read from Psalm 92. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall still bear fruit in old age, it says. They'll be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Whether you're young or whether you're old, use the time that God has blessed you with to bear fruit. Pray always, trust completely, hope continually, speak of God's righteousness, train another generation, and worship and praise God always. Oh yes, the Lord can secure their hearts and have a sure hope of heaven. The gospel shows us how. It's in Jesus Christ we put our hope day by day, whether young or old. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one tonight. You need to repent of your past sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess it. And upon that repentance, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or as a child of God, if you've not lived as you ought, you've sinned against your Lord, repent of that sin, confess it to Him, pray to Him for forgiveness, use this public opportunity to set public matters correct. We'll pray together. The Lord will hear our prayers and bless His people. If we can help you respond to His will in your life, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?